Welcome back to Modeling Winners, where every day we study one life worth modeling and pull out a few winning tactics you can actually use. Today's episode is Jawed Kareem. Sometimes a life turns on one moment. For Jawed Kareem, that moment came when he stood before an elephant enclosure at the San Diego Zoo and pressed upload. 19 seconds of amateur commentary about pachyderm trunks became the first video on what would become the world's largest broadcasting platform. Everything before it, the East German childhood behind walls, the fraud-fighting years at PayPal, the systems thinking that understood both human behavior and digital trust, prepared the ground. Everything after it revealed who he would become. Not the broadcaster, but the builder who made everyone else one.
Biography of Jawed Kareem, The Unlikely Convergence. The paradox of the first upload. There is a curious fact about revolutions. They rarely announce themselves with trumpets. The first video ever uploaded to what would become the world's largest video platform was not a manifesto, not a trailer for the future, not even particularly interesting. It was 19 seconds of a young man standing before an elephant enclosure at the San Diego Zoo, remarking upon the pachyderm's trunk. "All right, so here we are in front of the elephants," says Jawed Kareem in Me at the Zoo, uploaded April 23, 2005. "The cool thing about these guys is that they have really, really, really long trunks."
And that's cool. And that's pretty much all there is to say. That was the shot heard round the digital world, though nobody heard it at the time. Here is the paradox that makes Kareem's story worth examining. The man who helped invent the platform that turned everyone into broadcasters was himself the least interested in broadcasting. The co-founder who understood viral video never chased virality. The technical architect who built systems for billions preferred the laboratory to the spotlight. And yet it was precisely this combination, the fraud fighter's rigor married to the inventor's imagination, that made YouTube possible. Nothing in Kareem's life was wasted.
The East German childhood taught him what scarcity does to innovation. The PayPal years taught him what trust does to adoption. The decision to walk away from Google taught him what freedom does to focus. Two unrelated threads, financial security systems and creative expression platforms, converged in a way that could only have happened in one mind. This is the story of that convergence. The refugee's advantage. Jawed Kareem was born in 1979 in Merseburg, East Germany, into a world that specialized in walls. His father was Bangladeshi, his mother German, and their son inherited a particular kind of sight, the ability to see what is missing.
When you grow up behind the Iron Curtain, you develop an acute sense for what the West calls gaps in the market, but which might more accurately be called gaps in human dignity. The ability to speak, to share, to broadcast oneself, these are not luxuries to someone who has lived where speech is rationed. In 1992, when Kareem was 13, his family immigrated to the United States. This is worth pausing over. 13 is precisely the age when one's sense of the world is plastic enough to absorb a new culture, but rigid enough to remember the old one. Kareem arrived in America not as a blank slate, but as a comparative analyst.
He could see what Americans took for granted because he remembered what East Germans were denied. The habit of observation is not the same as the habit of complaint. Kareem did not arrive in Silicon Valley years later with a grievance. He arrived with a blueprint. He had seen what happens when systems are designed for control rather than trust, for suppression rather than expression. This would matter more than anyone realized. The fraud fighter's education. At the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, Kareem studied computer science, which is to say, he studied systems. Later, at Stanford, he studied the same thing at a higher resolution.
But his real education came at PayPal, where he landed during the company's chaotic early days, when it was less a payment processor than a digital battlefield. Here is what no one tells you about PayPal's early years. It nearly collapsed under the weight of its own fraud problem. For every legitimate transaction, there were criminals probing for weaknesses, testing the seams, exploiting the gaps. Kareem's job was to build the anti-fraud systems that would make digital payments possible. This meant thinking like a thief while building like a priest. It meant understanding human behavior at its worst in order to protect human commerce at its best.
the work was deeply unglamorous.
While the PayPal Mafia's more famous members, Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, Reid Hoffman, were plotting world domination, Kareem was down in the engine room, reinforcing the hull. But here is the thing about unglamorous work. It teaches you what matters. Fraud detection is pattern recognition. It is the art of seeing what does not belong. It is the science of building systems that scale, not just for good actors, but despite bad ones. Kareem absorbed three habits essential. First, systemic thinking. The fraud fighter learns to see transactions not as isolated events, but as nodes in a network of trust.
You cannot fight fraud by examining each transaction individually. You must see the patterns that emerge across thousands of transactions. This is the habit of thinking in systems rather than silos. Second, data-driven problem solving. In fraud detection, your intuition is worthless. What matters is what the data reveals. Kareem learned to trust evidence over instinct, to build solutions based on what users actually did rather than what he thought they might do. Third, proactive risk mitigation. The fraud fighter cannot afford to be reactive. By the time fraud is detected, the damage is done.
Kareem learned to build preventative systems to anticipate attacks before they happened, to design for resilience rather than repair. These were not the skills anyone associates with video sharing. These were the skills of a security engineer, a systems architect, a builder of trust infrastructure. And yet, and here is where the convergence begins, these were precisely the skills YouTube would need. The disconnect. In 2004, Jawed Kareem, Chad Hurley, and Steve Chen found themselves at a dinner party, or perhaps it was a party at Chen's apartment. The mythology varies.
What matters is that they took some videos and then discovered what millions of others were discovering. There was no good way to share video online. You could email files, but they were too large. You could post them to websites, but the process was baroque. You could use existing platforms, but they were designed for professionals, not amateurs. This was the moment of frustration that supposedly launched YouTube. But that is not quite right. Frustration does not launch companies. Frustration launches complaints.
What launched YouTube was the recognition that the problem of video sharing was fundamentally a problem of trust and scale, the exact problems Kareem had spent years solving at PayPal. Here is what most people miss. Video sharing was not a content problem. It was an infrastructure problem disguised as a content problem. The technical challenges were enormous. Videos were massive files. Bandwidth was expensive. Servers were fragile. Transcoding, converting videos from one format to another so they could play across different browsers and devices, was computationally intensive, and the potential for abuse was staggering.
What would stop people from uploading illegal content, pirated movies, pornography? These were not creative challenges. They were trust challenges. They were scale challenges. They were security challenges. Kareem looked at video sharing and saw a fraud problem waiting to happen. He saw a system that would need to scale from dozens of uploads to millions while maintaining reliability. He saw a platform that would need to balance openness with protection, freedom with responsibility. The fraud fighter saw the future of broadcasting, the convergence. Me at the Zoo was uploaded on April 23, 2005. It is worth watching it again, if only to appreciate how utterly unremarkable it is.
Kareem stands before the elephant enclosure in his dark jacket, hands in pockets, and delivers his assessment of elephant trunks with all the dramatic flair of a man reading a grocery list. The video quality is poor, the sound is muddy, the content is forgettable, and yet this 19-second clip changed everything. Because Kareem understood what everyone else missed. The point of YouTube was not to showcase professional content. The point was to prove that anyone could upload anything. Me at the Zoo was not content. It was a demonstration. It was proof of concept. It was Kareem saying, in the most literal way possible, here is a video. Here is how easy it is.
Here is what the barrier to entry looks like, which is to say, no barrier at all. This was the convergence. The fraud fighter's obsession with building trustworthy systems met the inventor's vision of democratized broadcasting. YouTube succeeded not because it had better video players than competitors, it didn't. Not because it had better features, it didn't.
It succeeded because Kareem and his co-founders built a platform that could scale to billions of uploads while maintaining enough trust to keep users coming back. The anti-fraud systems Kareem had built at PayPal became the foundation for YouTube's content moderation. The data-driven approach he had learned became the basis for recommendation algorithms. The systemic thinking that helped him anticipate fraud helped him anticipate how users would abuse, exploit, and ultimately transform a video platform. Here is the thing about convergence. It only works if both threads are strong. A creative vision without technical infrastructure collapses under its own weight. Technical infrastructure without creative vision builds magnificent systems that nobody uses. YouTube worked because Kareem brought both. Not in equal measure, perhaps, but in sufficient combination.
By 2006, less than 2 years after its founding, YouTube was serving 100 million video views per day. Google acquired it for $1.65 billion in stock. The elephant video had been watched millions of times. The platform that began with one unremarkable upload was reshaping how humans shared experience. The strategic withdrawal. And then Jawed Kareem did something that surprised everyone. He refused to join Google full-time. When YouTube was acquired, Hurley and Chen took executive positions at Google. Kareem took a different path. He became an informal advisor, but his primary focus was returning to Stanford to complete his master's degree in computer science.
He chose the classroom over the boardroom, the laboratory over the executive suite. This decision looked, to many observers, like a mistake. He was walking away from the center of power at a moment when YouTube was about to explode. He was choosing abstraction over application, theory over practice, questions over answers. But Kareem understood something essential. The second act requires different skills than the first. The skills that launched YouTube, technical execution, rapid iteration, startup grit, were not the same skills needed to understand what YouTube meant. For that, he needed distance. He needed perspective.
He needed to step out of the engine room and onto the deck to see where the ship was headed. At Stanford, Kareem studied at a higher level of abstraction. He thought about information systems, about network effects, about how platforms evolve. He became, in effect, a student of his own creation. This was not retreat. This was reconnaissance. The investor's lens. After completing his degree, Kareem became a venture capitalist, launching a fund called Y Ventures. His approach to investing revealed the convergence principle at work in a new domain.
He funded companies at the intersection of technical infrastructure and human behavior. Companies like Airbnb and Reddit, platforms that understood trust as a technical problem. Kareem's investment thesis was simple: find the convergence. Look for founders who had depth in one domain and curiosity about another. Look for technical problems that were really human problems, and human problems that were really technical problems. When he invested in Airbnb, he saw what others missed. This was not a hospitality company. It was a trust company. The challenge was not building a website where people could list spare rooms.
The challenge was building systems that convinced strangers to sleep in each other's homes. This was the fraud problem all over again, reframed as a hospitality problem. When he invested in Reddit, he saw what others missed. This was not a content company. It was a moderation company. The challenge was not getting people to post. The challenge was building systems that could handle billions of posts while maintaining enough order to remain usable. The fraud fighter was still fighting fraud. He had simply expanded his definition of what fraud meant. Fraud was anything that broke trust. Fraud was spam, trolling, abuse, manipulation.
Fraud was the gap between what systems promised and what they delivered, the lasting signal. Jawed Kareem has remained largely out of the public eye, granting few interviews, maintaining no social media presence beyond that first YouTube upload. He speaks occasionally at technical conferences. He advises companies quietly. He watches as YouTube has grown to over 2 billion users, 500 hours of video uploaded every minute, more content in a day than the entire 20th century produced. But here is the thing about Kareem's legacy. It is not YouTube. YouTube is the evidence of the legacy.
The legacy itself is the principle of convergence, the idea that nothing in your life is wasted if you can find the thread that connects. The East German childhood was not wasted. It taught him to see what was missing.
The PayPal years were not wasted. They taught him to build systems that scale. The decision to leave Google was not wasted. It taught him to see his work from the outside. Every thread mattered. Every detour was preparation. Every skill found its use. Today, we live in a world shaped by that convergence. YouTube is not merely a website where cat videos live. It is the infrastructure of modern culture.
It is how movements spread, how education scales, how the voiceless find voice. It is both the problem and the solution to a thousand challenges about truth, trust, moderation, and meaning. And it exists because a fraud fighter learned to care about elephants' trunks.
Signals to swipe. The moment is ripe.
Here is the claim. The best proof of concept is embarrassingly simple, and you should ship it today. Now, tell me what would have to be true for that to hold.
All right, so you are saying perfection is the enemy here. Walk me through how that actually plays out.
Look at Jawed Karim, April 23, 2005. First video ever uploaded to YouTube. 19 seconds at the San Diego Zoo.
Me at the zoo, the one about elephant trunks being long?
Exactly. Not a manifesto, not a demo reel, just a guy saying elephants have really long trunks, and that is pretty much all there is to say. It proved the concept. Upload works. Everything else was iteration.
But wait, what would have to be true about your idea for that strategy to work? Because if Karim had been building, say, financial software, 19 seconds of amateur footage would not cut it.
Fair. The boundary condition is this. Your core value has to be testable with minimal fidelity. If your idea needs perfection to prove itself, you are probably solving the wrong problem first.
So the refined claim is not ship garbage. It is ship the smallest thing that proves your users can do the one thing that matters.
Right. For YouTube, that was upload and play. Quality, discovery, monetization, all that came later.
The maxim then, prove the concept today, perfect the execution tomorrow.
Next signal. Here is the claim. Your competitive advantage is hiding in the convergence of unrelated skills, the combinations no one else has.
So you were saying your past is not wasted, it is ammunition. What would have to be true for that to hold?
Karim is the case study. Two completely unrelated threads. East German refugee who understood what scarcity does to expression, PayPal fraud fighter who understood what trust does to adoption.
And YouTube required both. You needed someone who understood systems and human behavior, security, and creativity. That combination did not exist anywhere else.
Right. Financial security systems and creative expression platforms. Two domains that had never touched. They converged in one mind.
But here's the challenge. Most of us can't see our own convergences. We file our past experiences into silos and forget they even connect.
Which is why the practice matters. This week, list two completely unrelated skills you have. Spend 15 minutes asking what problem requires both.
What exists because no one has combined X with Y? That's the audit.
And you will notice how much of your so-called wasted past suddenly becomes competitive advantage. The most defensible positions require unlikely combinations.
The maxim? Your edge is not in depth. It's in the combination no one else has lived.
So the one thing to try this week, pick the unfinished thing you have been perfecting. Ship the version that proves the concept today.
Because 19 seconds in front of an elephant enclosure changed everything. Not because it was good, because it was first.
If this episode gave you one useful signal to carry into the week, subscribe at modelingwinners.com. Free subscribers get one fresh story each week, and paid members get daily episodes, companion audio, accountability nudges, and waffle-style progress charts filling in each day you take action.
Problem is older than you think. Someone before you stood at the same brink. They had nothing but nerve, no map, no guide. Their ceiling's your floor. Step inside. Pattern recognition, one life at a time. History's best playbook. Battery. Model the winners.
from the best, they're not using it anymore. Every challenge you face has been solved before. Lies worth modeling, stories worth the time. History's already written. Follow the line. They figured it out.